The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
You're in the whole six, so
all right, give it up for Matthew Field and Stefania!
This. I'm too fired up right now. I'm like Steve Ballmer. I'm so ready for the season.
Let's go.
Let's go. Woo! Wow. Welcome into the official start of the 2019 Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Seriously, we're back. We are back.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much. Real quick, okay, by a round of applause, I need to know how many people here are on Secret Squirrel's guest list. Round of applause. Okay. Go ahead. All right. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people are here.
He's actually less popular than I expected.
Less popular than I thought.
Don't worry. Daniel's right. He's a big deal in Bristol.
But they've known him for his entire life. That it makes sense, Field.
That's a good point. By the way, I think this year I'm going to reduce the number of times that every day we open up the podcast by telling you Field, Matthew, and Stefania. But seeing as though it is the first podcast of the season, we might have some new downloaders, not listeners. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and the lovely star Fania Bell.
There she is.
We've got the best in the business. We've got a father of five. I couldn't. I was trying to say something.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm with you. I caught that one. Bob. That's true. By the way, Field Yates recently married. Yeah. Big off-season news. Finally had the sex. Congratulations. Very exciting. How was the honeymoon?
Can we stop down during this? Or is
no,
this all...
I just said. I mean, technically we can if you really need to.
The honeymoon was amazing. Let me tell you guys. Getting married is sweet. Maybe for the honeymoon part. I don't know.
Well, it was Stefania and I were at your wedding, and we had a great time.
Matt? Still on the honeymoon. Like, he's in that. Everything is blissful. It's fantastic. I love it.
I was going to say, my push for the Nantucket live show failed, but it's great to be in the incredible city of Detroit and the great state of Michigan. Thank you for welcoming us tonight. The pride is amazing. Amazing pride here tonight.
100%. Glad to be in the Motor City. Glad to be here. I found out, I did not know this until I got here today, but underneath us is the shelter where Eminem got to start. You guys knew that, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So cool. We're literally sitting on history. I challenged Field to a rap battle. He peaced out. So I'm pretty much the champ.
Do you think when whoever owns this place is like, yeah, like I've previously hosted Eminem, and now I'm going to find the person least like Eminem and bring him to the show.
There you go.
And here we have it.
That is me.
It's kind of
really, from Eminem to me. That's a wide range of acts that this place is hosting.
Although you know something, I will give you credit for, because you've been awfully kind, is I think the movie came out since the off season. I know that people know this already, but if we're going to be up here handing out, you know, free accolades.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Did you guys know that the most popular movie of all time. In major motion pictures, Avengers Endgame, featuring Matthew Berry. Give him up for that. I'll celebrate that one time.
I mean, I've been in one movie, and that movie has made the most money of any movie ever worldwide. I'm just saying.
You being in it, which tells you how good a movie it really was.
Oh, it was an amazing movie. F*** Avatar. Yeah. Right. We took them down.
Daniel, we're definitely keeping that for the record.
I don't know how to say F*** Avatar and not Ivy. Whatever. What's the made-up language of that, you know?
Ivy, that's correct,
it's
right?
Not
Ivy?
Naive or naive.
Whatever.
That's Ivy.
That's Princeton. I don't know. No,
it doesn't matter anymore because they're number two.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Well, loving these plush chairs we are seated on, by the way, tonight.
We're going to get to football in 1 second. Can I try one thing, though, Field? You were doing this a little bit backstage, but I want to actually try it. I've never gotten to do this before.
Okay.
So I'd like to try this, because this is pretty much the only chance I'm ever going to get to do this.
I'm a little nervous right now, but go for it.
Detroit.
Basketball!
There we go.
had that one queued up for later, but we'll let it pass. We'll do it again. That's right.
See?
You're pandering to the crowd.
Absolutely.
Love the Lion shirt you're wearing right now also. Great.
Listen, I could have come out in like a, you know, a jersey. Well, you've earned it. You have a jersey, but you came out in... in Motor City.
Motor City football,
A brand new Motor City. Did you buy that
brand
an hour
new.
Ago?
Like, just like, out of the packaging.
check the back. Is the sticker still on it? Like, what's going
on
there?
I kind of hope not. Sort of a fashion faux pas. Modell's down the street. They have a discount right now. Anyways, a couple pieces of business here before we get rolling. As I mentioned, this is the first official show, but not the only show we have this season, which is good because some people thought we evaporated into the ether. We are back on Monday, August 5th. So by the time you're listening to this, if you're not at St. Andrew's Hall, it's Wednesday. We're back on Monday. And as you guys know, last year we got going live on Twitter, which
and
is
And that's
ton
where
of
we're
going
to leave it, is live on Twitter. You are correct, Field Yates.
I wasn't going to say anything besides that.
Okay. There may be some surprises coming.
Yeah.
You never know.
I was just going to say that we're going to be back on Twitter and, of course, anywhere you find your podcast and download, but do not listen.
Yep.
A lot of news to get to, so let's get to it.
Rewind. Fantasy news
from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
What do the Bengals do to you?
I'm sorry?
What do the Bengals do to you?
They bone you. Everyone knows that. They
just making sure.
Bone you. I'm so excited because here's what's great. Here's what's great.
Keep that too,
this
Daniel.
Is finally this is a show that is not being broadcast live. As Field mentioned, every one of our shows is broadcast live on Twitter. You can follow us at Fantasy Focus if you want to get alerts of when it airs and to watch it or to watch replays. But this is one where, I can curse. Because it's edited. It's going to be edited. So, yeah, and that's what happens. The Bengals bone you. They bone you, Field Yates.
They do bone you, and we have some unfortunate news out of the gates in training camp, which is where we're going to get Stefania involved. Stefania, as of Tuesday night, what do we know about A.J. Green, the Bengals' best player, and who's this Bengals' second best player?
Okay. Consensus.
Guys, I'm out of touch. I'm out of form.
There you go.
Well, the news is changed pretty quickly. I mean, if you saw any of the video when AJ Green goes down, the first thing you're thinking is this guy had toe surgery on his right foot. He's finally coming back from that, all cleared for camp. This injury is to the opposite side. It's his left ankle. Originally, Adam Schefter reported as a ligament injury, but Zach Taylor, the coach, said today that AJ Green is expected to miss multiple regular season games now after undergoing a procedure. He had surgery this morning. It's not uncommon for them to go in and do an arthroscopic surgery when they want to get a better look at the ankle joint. So, you know, they can look at it manually, they can look at imaging, but you can't really see what's going on in the joint unless you do a surgical procedure. So they haven't offered much detail about what they found, but if I'm sort of putting pieces together, it tells me that this conservative estimate of time means they want to protect the ankle joint, which is a little bit different than just standard sprain. I wouldn't take it. They obviously didn't do a major reconstruction because you'd be talking about multiple months. But the fact that they have this conservative estimate is a little concerning. And keep in mind, you're coming back from major surgery on the opposite side. You really can't afford any compensations. So if he had a healthy right foot, you might be able to push this a little faster. So it's a little more nuanced. And I don't think they're going to be aggressive in bringing him back. It's tough for him. It's last year, right? It's a contract year potentially. And this is a guy who really wants to prove that he can stay healthy. And out of the gate, that's an issue. He's an exceptionally hard worker. It's very unfortunate.
Multiple games sounds like at least the starting point here, Matthew. Multiple games means two. Your thoughts on what it means for drafting AJ Green based off what we have information-wise?
He may drop to a point where it becomes interesting where, you know, fourth round or something like that, but I want no part of AJ Green. I mean, I'm currently in the middle of writing my preseason love-hate list, and AJ Green was already on the hate list prior to this injury. I mean, so not including this year, he has not played all 16 games in three of the last five, so it's not going to be four of the last six seasons. This is airing tomorrow. We're taping this on Tuesday night. Wednesday is his 31st birthday. So he's on the wrong side of 30.
Well, happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday to AJ Green.
You guys a champion.
Sure. Love for AJ.
As I sit here and trash him. But
I'm sure he's a listener.
He's a friend of the podcast.
I've been told he's a downloader.
Yeah.
I've been told he's more of a downloader.
Well, go ahead. Continue the trashing.
He's missed 13 games over his last three seasons. It's going to add to that, obviously, this year as well. And did you know that this was in my 100 Facts column over on ESPN.com? Of course, I'm a company man.
We don't have sounders.
We don't have sound effects.
We do have sounders.
You guys are on fire. Let's go.
You guys are on fire. We love Detroit.
Yep.
Detroit. Yeah, that's right. Week 10 of the 2017 season was the last time. Week 10 of the 2017 season field was the last time A.J. Green had a reception of 40 yards or more.
I mean, feels we always like a think long of, time. Yeah.
Right. We always think of him as like this great deep threat. And then you're, you know, and like how much of that is Andy Dalton and how much of that is him. But like it doesn't feel like he's as explosive. I mean, and even if the film tells you that he is, the numbers don't suggest that he is. And so you think about last year where he was wide receiver 16 on a points per game basis. He ended up as wide receiver 44 in terms of total points. And that's about where he's going. And there's so many guys in that range that I would rather have that have more upside than A.J. Green. It just, I don't know. Like,
he makes me nervous in a lot of ways. Not only is it,
how do you feel
about A.J. Green, but look at the offense. Like Vegas, which we know sometimes they don't get it right, but Vegas, I think, has him forecasted for one of the lowest win totals this season. They're going to be terrible. The first round draft pick, he's out for the year. An offensive lineman. Their offensive line's atrocious. The quarterback is, as we know, I mean, he's Andy Dalton. He bones you. So there's not much that gives me a lot of faith in this Bengals offense.
And it's a new coaching staff. And you know, and listen, Zach Taylor obviously comes out of the Sean McVay coaching tree.
But very unproven at this point.
Very unproven.
Yeah.
Very unproven. He's a young guy that doesn't have – and being a head coach in the NFL is a lot more than just X's and O's.
Sure.
And so getting into a situation where already your star player is banged up, you lost your first-round draft pick, and, you know, this is just one that if it drops far enough, I'm into it, but I feel like he's not going to drop outside the top 20 of wide receivers. I moved him just outside my top 20.
I was going to say that so that's probably what people are asking now. Is I think I had him at wide receiver 12 prior to the injury, and we have updates on rankings obviously almost daily now because of all the news going on. I think at last blush I had him at wide receiver 19. So
I had him at 21, so we're right there, yeah.
Similar sort of range and value for A.J. Green.
But here's the ultimate question, Phil. This is what I always do when a player like A.J. Green, who has been injury prone recently, Stefania Bell, would you draft A.J. Green?
No, I mean,
you guys want to answer that for?
Here's the thing. this is really interesting. I'll tell you why I hesitated. And I think my answer is generally going to be no. I would certainly avoid him. It kind of depends where he falls. But A.J. Green has always been a guy who's come back a little bit earlier and a little bit better than people expect. The hamstring thing was an end of season. The toe thing, he had to have surgery. So, you know, seasonal calendar played into that. But he could look a lot different in a few weeks if you're drafting closer to the start of the season. And that's why it's important to stay involved in whatever is coming out of camp, and we'll tell you if it's news or noise.
That's right. News or noise coming up on A.J. Green throughout the preseason. But there's more tentacles to this than just A.J. Green.
Right.
Sure.
Tyler Boyd, you think sort of ostensibly, oh, yeah, Tyler Boyd now. He's the only guy that can throw the ball. That should mean that he's going to move up in your rankings. Not so fast.
Yeah.
Matthew, do we believe this is a boon?
We actually don't. I mean, the truth is that Tyler Boyd actually scored less fantasy points when A.J. Green was out last year than it was with him. We've seen this before. And so last year, I tweeted this out when the injury happened. 2018, when A.J. Green was on the field, Tyler Boyd caught 77% of his targets, was targeted on 23.3% of routes.
Okay.
2018, with Green off the field, Boyd caught 63% of his targets, was targeted on 21.2% of routes. So he caught less of his targets, and he was targeted on less routes.
The target
with
share was comparable,
but the
catch percentage was much lower.
Which is weird. It's all small sample size.
But it's reasoning. When you're the only person they have to worry about, it's a lot more difficult to catch the football when you're being, you know, draped by Jalen Ramsey as opposed to, you know, the second or third cornerback on the team roster.
You know, listen, the offense was a mess last year towards the end. I mean, and they're throwing Jeff Driskel out there. I mean, like, so, at some point you gotta, you take it all with a grain of salt. It's a new offensive system and everything like that. But, ultimately, I think in my most recent rankings update, and they're gonna continue to get updated, we've got football on Thursday night.
Let's go!
I mean, come on, right? Got actual football. on Thursday night.
At least six of you are starting Kevin Hogan in your DFS lineup on Thursday night.
Of course.
By the way, he's the starting quarterback for the Broncos on Thursday night. That's how soon it is into preseason.
Former Washington Redskin great Kevin Hogan.
Yeah.
Former Cleveland Browns.
I was going to say Brown, Chief, Redskin. Right, yeah. Can you be a great when you've been on four teams in a year? Anyways, let's move forward.
It'll be hard for him to decide who to retire into the Hall of Fame as, given the many teams that Kevin Hogan's been on. But my point is that when we start the show up on Monday, I'll have an entirely new rankings update. I'll do a refresh. I'll publish my top 200 by then. But I think at the moment I have Tyler Boyd at 22, AJ Green at 21. Right. So I have them right there. And
That's true.
I am shocked that you actually remember that those two were back-to-back in your rankings. I'm really proud of you, Matthew Berry.
There you go. It was a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of things I don't do well, but my memory's actually pretty good. It was one of the things that impressed my fellow actors in Avengers Endgame.
It's just, okay.
I never missed a line, you know, it was just that kind of thing. So it was just great. By the way, if you think I'm not bringing that up like every day for the rest of my life.
Literally
every day. Thirsty Kyle did a poll at Fantasy Focus. We always do polls. How long am I allowed to bring it up? 62% of you said, with every breath I take. So God bless the 0601 nation.
You've been warned. Let's get to another piece of news here. Tyreek Hill was in the news throughout the NFL offseason. Many expected that he would face some sort of punishment surrounding a pretty harrowing situation involving both his fiance and their 3-year-old son, who ended up with a broken arm. The NFL did not suspend Tyreek Hill. He is going to play all 16 games this season. The NFL did note, however, that if they found further evidence of some sort of wrongdoing or something was presented to them, they had the right to revisit this case. On top of that, the off-the-field stuff, and on Tuesday in training camp, Tyreek Hill was carted off, and you see a lot more carts than major injuries at some points during training camp, the early part being one of them, with what our colleague Adam Schefter has described as a quad bruise. Tafanya, it was described as minor. Is there a timeline on this? Is this a, you know, I'm not worrying about it at all, or has this sort of caught your attention a little bit?
Well, it gets your attention. There are a few things. One is the soft tissue injuries escalate in the first 2 weeks of the preseason. I think Rick Burkholder, who's the head athletic trainer for the Kansas City Chiefs, just posted like a day ago that soft tissue injuries will spike between day 3 and day 11. And sure enough, you're already seeing it. Part of that is dehydration.
Is that like a curse? Pardon? Was that like voodoo? Like, you know, you talk about soft tissue injuries and like you're the trainer and the guy gets hurt?
He actually literally just, I think he posted that one day before, but because he's been a veteran trainer in the league and he's seen that this is what happens. And dehydration, deconditioning, whatever you want to call it, plus they get into doing football activity, which they really haven't done. Now, a bruised quad means there's bleeding, and if it's small and superficial, it could be no big deal. He could be back within a couple of days. When you have a deep bruise, sometimes it can turn into something that's a couple weeks. This sounds more minor. I would just say one other thing about the carting off. Especially in the preseason, and if these guys are away at camp, Chiefs do theirs at St. Joe's, sometimes they just want to get them to where they can evaluate them, and a cart is the most feasible means. So you see something that says player carted off, and you're thinking, oh, I can't draft that guy. You know, he was carted off. But it may just be that that's the most expeditious way to look at them.
So, Matthew, I don't know that right now is the time to get into the moral compass side of the Tyreek Hill situation. We're going to deal with what we know. We're going to talk about the fantasy football impact of it. So doesn't sound right now like a major injury issue. We will monitor it throughout the rest of the preseason. But based off of what the NFL said in its statement surrounding Tyreek Hill and what we know about his role in this Chiefs offense, one of the first questions that people asked was, fantasy, are you sort of going right back to the well? How high does he climb in your wide receiver rankings? Do you have any concerns about the possibility of discipline down the line if something emerges?
I suppose you have to be, but weirdly not that much, in the sense that, here's the thing, and so again, like, I don't know the evidence, right? I mean, but and certainly doesn't look good, and you know, but we're just dealing with the fantasy football implications of this. It's not like something that just happened last week. This is something that has been a news story in a big, big way for the majority of the offseason. And my belief is that if the Kansas City police or the NFL could have charged him with something, they would have. And so My belief is that, I know they've said they're keeping the investigation open, but my belief is that case is more or less closed. And there have been no issues with him since he's been in the pros. He came into the pros with some serious off the field baggage. But since he has been in Kansas City prior to this, to the best of my knowledge, there's been no specter of this. So like, you can't predict the future, but from a pure fantasy football standpoint, and I leave it to you as to whether you want to actually root for this guy and whether you actually want him on your team, which is a different conversation. But from a pure fantasy football analysis standpoint, I think he's a wide receiver one this year. I ranked him, I believe, wide receiver 7. I believe I ranked him just ahead of Antonio Brown.
I've got him at wide receiver 6, and we're talking about the same territory here for Tyreek Hill, who, as we know, guys, I mean, in terms of vertical plays down the field, there's nobody better, right?
Got that right again, just so you know. Wide receiver 7. I had that memorized.
Your social security years are treating you well.
Just
hold on. For the record, only 50. No. Listen, only 54% of the Twitter audience said you were allowed to talk about it for the rest of your life, not 62%. So you're only batting 66% here, right?
Is 54% a majority?
All right, we're talking semantics here, Matthew Barry.
There you go. I will say this: the support I got from people like Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr. and the rest of the cast members of Avengers Endgame was so much more loving and supportive than any of these people.
Wait, you know what they are? Actors.
Yeah.
So you know what that support was?
That's an excellent point.
Acting.
Right there.
You know, you could learn from them, Stefania. Just saying. Little acting wouldn't kill you.
So back to Tyreek Hill here. That's a hard pivot right back to Tyreek Hill. Unbelievable player. I mean, in terms of, I saw a stat on SportsCenter earlier today that since 2016, when he entered the league, in terms of plays that traveled 40-plus yards that resulted in a touchdown, he was like 2.5 times the next closest player. Obviously an incredible receiver. He has return value. He also runs the ball on occasion for Kansas City. We're talking about one of the game's most unique talents. Again, you choose how you feel about making an investment in a player based off of his off-field situations. But from a pure fantasy football standpoint, I think that in most rounds or most drafts, he will go in the top 20 picks and probably closer to 15 than 20, and he will be a staple of most lineups, provided he remains on the straight and narrow.
So get this. This is interesting stat. So, you know, we have access to the next-gen stats, and they look at all this. So basically, Tyreek Hill last year when he was lined up was given an above average cushion. Basically, defenders gave him about 6 yards off the line of scrimmage, right? They gave him a pretty good cushion because they know how fast he is. And yet, even with that cushion, Tyreek Hill was still top 10 in the NFL in terms of average separation among wide receivers with at least 75 targets. Basically, that's usually that stat is usually like slot receivers because you've got, you know, guys playing off the ball like that. And so, it's just unbelievable that he gave these defenders such a head start and was still able to burn past them and get that much separation.
Formerly known as faster than Ya on Twitter. So again, all the physical stuff, we know yes. This about Tyreek Hill.
Just real quickly to pivot for one quick second there, because I see Mahomes sitting there in the second row. There you go.
The actual
Stand
Patrick
up. Don't
Mahomes.
Take that from them. Don't take that from that. That's right. But I think a lot of how you feel about Tyreek Hill is how you feel about Patrick Mahomes, and do you think he regresses?
Right, and I think regression is a really sort of like it's we have to be gentle with how we use the word regression as it pertains to Patrick Mahomes. Think about this: Patrick Mahomes could literally throw for 15 fewer touchdowns than he did last season, and 500 fewer yards, and be first in the NFL in passing touchdowns this year, and second in passing yards. So the guy had an historic, monstrous, nearly unparalleled season. There are only 3 times where we've seen a quarterback throw for 50 touchdowns. The previous 2 times, Tom Brady tore his ACL in week 1 of the following year, and Peyton Manning had a relative regression. So,
yeah, but if you go to my 100 facts column on ESPN.com, you will see a number of facts that basically lay out the fact that, like, in essence, to your point, Field, Patrick Mahomes could regress significantly and still easily be the number one quarterback in fantasy.
Sure.
I mean, you know, he throws 10 less touchdowns. He throws 20% less touchdown passes than he did last year. He's still throwing 40 touchdowns.
It's good to be Patrick
Mahomes. I mean, it's just like the numbers are just...
Math.
Math. I did math. There was no math on the set of Avengers Endgame, but I was ready if there was. The only math I know is the box office math, which is where there's no movie that has more money than Avengers Endgame, which is out on digital right now. Go buy it. Buy many copies.
Go buy Avengers Endgame for like the two of you in this theater that haven't already seen it. We were hoping Matthew would hold out this year, much to our chagrin. Not so much. Anyways, we do have some other players in the NFL that are holding out. The three most notable names, two are running backs, Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon of the Cowboys and Chargers, plus Mike Thomas of the Saints. There seems to be some optimism regarding Mike Thomas and getting a contract done with New Orleans. Both the head coach and the GM down there have said as much. Little trickier with Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott. Let's be clear. We are going to hammer these subjects until they are resolved for both players and both teams. I get the sense that they will be two of our dominant storylines over the next month leading up to the season. Here's sort of what we know right now. Melvin Gordon is prepared and willing to sit out games if he does not get a contract that is somewhere in the range of $12 or $13 million per season, which is about $2 to $3 million more than the Chargers seem willing to offer at this point. For Zeke, a little trickier. He wants a new contract, just like Amari Cooper, just like Dak Prescott. A lot of guys have to get paid in Dallas. Zeke is in Cabo, so life must not be that bad right now for him. But at the moment, just at the moment.
It ain't Detroit. Cabo's nice, but it ain't Detroit.
Good point.
I mean, the sand.
D. Anyways, as of right now, Matthew, for those that are drafting early, and there are some leagues, both all of us have been part of the Scott Fishbowl, for example, amongst other leagues that have already conducted drafts or are currently doing so, slight discount on those players, both Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott. Which one, if one, scares you more than the other?
Melvin Gordon scares me more.
He seems a little bit more resolute in missing games.
He seems a little bit more resolute. There does seem to be some trickling of news that maybe, you know, they'll get something worked out in Dallas here, but Melvin Gordon seems like he's prepared to miss games. We haven't heard that talk yet from Ezekiel Elliott or his camp, as it were. But, like, you know, and I think, look, I moved Melvin Gordon outside my top 10 running backs for right now because it's just like if I'm drafting, like, and, you know, maybe it's you know, sort of PTSD from Le'Veon Bell last year, right?
Right.
But, I mean, like I truly believe, and we can – it's a whole other podcast. We can debate whether – Le'Veon Bell made the right decision. I would argue he didn't.
Right.
Not fantasy-wise. I think he actually left money on the table. But I think a lot of players saw what Le'Veon Bell did, which is, you know what? I'm sitting out the whole year. I don't care. And he still got a big, fat contract. And I think a lot of running backs, especially running backs, given the short shelf life you have as a running back in the National Football League, are sitting there going, you know what? Work for Le'Veon. Maybe it'll work for me. Now, I don't think Melvin Gordon has the track record or, frankly, the skill set of Le'Veon Bell. It's
different in the sense that those two guys are still under contract. Zeke, remember, was not under contract. He had not signed a franchise tag. That's a little bit more much semantics, but your point's well taken.
So you asked me which one do I have more fear of. I have real fear of Melvin Gordon, and I think just if Melvin Gordon were to miss time or to sit out, it would be Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson. We looked at it last year when Melvin Gordon missed time. The first game, it was mostly all the Austin Eckler show, and Jackson just barely played a little bit. But after that first game, it was mostly even in terms of snaps, touches, fantasy points, etc., like from that point forward. So I think it would be a true running back by committee. I prefer Eckler to Jackson, but it would be a running back by committee.
Before we get into a conversation, a preview of your future NFC champions, little note from Straight Talk Wireless, Matty B.
That's right. Straight Talk Wireless, our friends. Speaking of friends, I would like to invite our producer, Daniel Dobbs.
Let's go!
Come on up here. Come on up here.
Detroit Zone.
So, come here. Come here, buddy. So,
we did not plan this, by the way. I have no idea what's about to happen.
I just want to say, No. Like we give Daniel a very hard time on the show, and rightfully so.
Could you define we? Yes,
me, yes. I do.
But I mean you.
I speak for Field and Stefania as I do at all times. But the truth is a couple of things here. First off, he does a great job. We all love him.
Cheers to that.
And he is, if you know, he is truly a diehard Detroit sports fan.
Yeah.
From moment one. And anytime I try to, anytime I trash a Lions player, he's always sticking up for them. He is always defending Detroit. He comes by it honestly. He loves the Lions. So here in front of his hometown, you can't get back to Detroit as much as you would like.
That is
Daniel
accurate.
Dopp. I know you can't. But one of the ways you stay in touch with all of your friends is you call them on the phone.
You absolutely
call them on the phone. And a cheap way to do it is Straight Talk. So I would like to invite you, our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. I would like you, Daniel Dopp, to do the live read in honor of you being at home. This is a homecoming for Daniel Dopp.
Detroit. This is so sweet. It's amazing the way that Matthew just pawned off his job onto me and then made it sound like he was being such a genuine person about it. It's incredible.
One of the skills I learned on the set of Avengers Endgame.
It is time for Straight Talk. Look, Matthew, you wouldn't spend more to get the exact same thing, would you?
I would not.
I would not either. So tell me, when I tell you Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same cell towers as the big guys, but charges you a lot less...
What?
I think you can see where I'm going with this one, right?
I sure do.
That's America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost.
No way!
No, seriously!
I cannot believe that!
Get the $45 unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with 25 gigs of high-speed data and no contract, only at Walmart.
Are there Walmarts in Detroit?
Yeah!
There we go.
Thank you, Straight Talk Wireless.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
Hey! Secret Squirrel! Daniel
Dopp, let him hear it. Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel? It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we...
No, we're going to let this go. I was going to fade it out, but we're going to let this go.
I
will be honored.
With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's dead.
Go!
You know, we talked about Eminem to me, but you think about some of the raps that Eminem has done, and then that song, just in terms of music that's been played in this building. That's a wider range, I think.
Eminem might return just to one-up that song, right? Like, return of Marshall Mathers. So Vegas, as I mentioned earlier, does these things called win projections. They estimate how many games a team will win. They set an over-under. Let's talk about the Lions for a second. Vegas sets the over-under at 6.5.
What?
How many?
Over. What? We're taking the over.
The real question is this. How many games over 6.5 will the Lions win this season?
Thank you, Phil.
Wait. I can do this. 9.5.
So that would be 16-0.
There we go.
They're gonna fire win. Right now. You are
almost
fresh.
High five.
I did that math in my head, Princeton. How impressed are you?
I can't keep up with you.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I busted out the calendar here today.
Hey now.
10 wins. You heard it.
Ten wins? Wow.
10 wins.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Hold up. We've got a naysayer here. He's wearing a DeAndre Hopkins jersey at a show in Detroit who's just booing the Lions left and right.
Yeah.
Be careful. It gets right. It's
stand up.
Streets
stand up.
Yeah.
Stand
Subject
up,
yourself.
This guy
Shane
took the under.
Bell.
That's right.
Woo.
It's all right. I like that. I like that. You take it like a man.
I respect
good for you.
Yeah.
He's saying Texans going to have a better record.
Okay.
Nope. They might.
I got 10 wins for the Lions.
Not going to lie. They might. There is. We were out at Lions camp earlier today, where put it on the board. Thank you, sir. Not that part of the show yet, but thank you for enjoying the fine beverages here at St. Andrew's Hall.
Heyo.
So we were out at Lions camp earlier today. Good looking squad. Field Yates obviously getting a shout out from General Manager Bob Quinn. Obviously, as you guys know, Field spent time prior to coming to ESPN, he spent time in the front office of the New England Patriots, and obviously there's a lot of Patriot connections here in Detroit. So,
Field, what kind of coffee does Bob Quinn like with your front office time in New England? No, all right, we're just going to let that one go. We're just going to let it go.
Look at that. He has no response.
Cream, two sugar.
But there is, I will say this, there is reason for optimism, I believe, in Detroit. It does feel like, to the extent you can get a sense of a team from spending, you know, a day with them, I will say it does feel like they are trying to build it the right way from inside out and talking to a bunch of players, talking to a bunch of front office people. Field, I know you had a lot of the same conversations as did Stefania. Daniel just played video games with Matt Prater. But
literally.
That's literally true.
It's true.
But it does feel like to a person they are buying in to what Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are bringing to the team.
If vibe was quantifiable, theirs is much better right now than it was last season. It just feels like they have far more of the right pieces. No more square pegs being jammed into round holes. Let's get to the fantasy insight here, and let's overview the notable players in this offense relative to where they're being drafted on average right now. Again, it's early, but some people are doing their drafts at this point of the offseason. Matthew Stafford's average draft position amongst quarterbacks is 25th right now. I got more. That was laugh. Was there were some laughters. Was the laugh? Were those angry laughters? Were those like?
I mean, here's the thing.
I'm just reading the facts.
He was quarterback 29 on a point on a points per game basis last year, right? I don't need to tell you guys. Like, they were bad last year.
So there's nowhere to go but up.
They were bad. Now, in fairness to Matthew Stafford, right? Golden Tate gets traded. Marvin Jones gets injured. You know, the offensive line struggled. There was a lot going wrong with a team. Didn't seem like, sure, that too. And thank you for enjoying the fine beverages here at St. Andrews Hall.
I'll take one of whatever these guys have been having tonight.
Yeah, totally. Shots after the show. But. Field's old enough to drink now.
Wait, getting married means you can start drinking?
100%, yeah. In Michigan. I don't even know what that means. I'm bummed Kid Rock didn't make the show, I will say that. All right, anyway.
Do we know that for a fact? I can't really see in the back.
He might be here.
Isn't his first name like Bill?
I legit love Kid Rock, by the way. Legit love him. I think he's awesome. All right, so.
You make it so easy sometimes.
Right. What's wrong with Kid Rock?
Nothing, nothing. He's great. Right. Phenomenal.
Loved everything.
Loved him in Joe Dirt.
Put it on the
everything.
Floor.
All right. So here's the thing. Matthew Stafford, quarterback 29. Now, again, if you want to talk about reason for optimism, prior to last year, we'd seen many, many years with Matthew Stafford as a top 10, top 12 fantasy quarterback, right? And Daryl Bevel, despite having a reputation as being a run-first play caller, which he is. I mean, he is traditionally, but he has had some very good fantasy quarterbacks. Now, obviously, most notably Russell Wilson, and some of that obviously comes from the rushing, but he was the offense coordinator in Minnesota when Brett Favre had his resurgence there that first year in Minnesota. So, we looked at like sort of the quarterback finishes under Bevel and sort of all over the place. We've got some top five finishes and we've got like, you know, 20 to 30. I think one of the concerns with Matthew Stafford for me, it's twofold. Number one is he doesn't run. You know what I mean? Like, and there's so many quarterbacks these days that will get you 20, 30, maybe even 40 yards in the case of like Lamar Jackson or probably Kyler Murray a game, Cam Newton maybe, right? Like that there's just no upside obviously with his rushing.
Right.
And then you think about how deep the position is.
And that's, I think, sort of the crux of it is that, like, you know, Matthew Stafford needs a ton of things to go right for him to be someone that you would even consider drafting or imagining as a top 10 quarterback this year. So I don't want to belabor the point too much here. But let's get to the guys who I think really can be the meat of this roster from a fantasy standpoint, and specifically Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson feels like perhaps, I think he's got to be, if he's not the most popular lion in Detroit right now, he certainly has to be amongst the most popular players, and the stars have aligned for Kerryon Johnson, amongst current players. That's a good, because we love Megatron forever. But Kerryon, right now, the stars have kind of aligned. Last year, missed some time, banged up a little bit. But this year, healthy. You go look at the running back depth chart right now. It's him and it's C.J. Anderson. And when I say change of pace, C.J. Anderson is a change of pace in every sense of it. Basically a negligible passing game impact for C.J. Anderson. Theo Riddick, recently cut. If you go to training camp, it seems like every time you looked at a different play, Kerryon Johnson was aligned somewhere else on the along the formation, whether it was split out wide, obviously in the backfield plenty, lots of ways to get him the touches. I think a lot of people over the past week have warmed up even more than to Kerryon Johnson, and he was already like a top 20 play, but like, are we thinking this guy has RB1 upside?
I believe he does. So first off, his current ADP is running back 18.
Yep.
Right? And so last year, there were only four running backs in the NFL last year that had 175 carries and 60 or more catches.
Okay.
Here's who those four players were.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott. Right?
I like those guys.
You've heard
yeah.
those guys, right? You know those
They're
names, right?
Mm-hmm.
Devonia, right. Okay. So 175 carries, that's 12 carries a game.
Yep.
Once again, did that math in my head. Like, you get 12 carries a game, it's 192 carries over the course of a 16-game season, right?
Now you're lying. Like, now you've definitely just memorized it.
I know.
I may have written that one down.
Yeah.
But before the show. But I did prep before the show, which is also rare for me. But anyway, so I don't think it's hard to imagine a scenario where Kerryon Johnson gets over 175 carries, right?
Agreed.
So last year he averaged over 3 receptions a game. And now Theo Riddick, no longer there, as you mentioned, Field. Theo Riddick averaged 61 receptions a game. 61 receptions a year. A year. I will come out there and beat you. 61 receptions a year. I will cut you like Theo Riddick. Do not mess with me.
Woo! Feisty Matthew.
Feisty.
All kinds of fired up. You're a spicy tomato yourself.
So 61 receptions a year for Theo Riddick. So obviously the expectation here is that Kerryon Johnson is going to get the majority of that. So it's pretty easy to see. Again, he had over 30 receptions last year with Theo Riddick on the roster in just 10 games. So it's pretty easy to see a scenario where he gets to over 175 carries and over 60 receptions. And then he's on that same list with Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, the only concern I have about Kerryon Johnson is scoring, right? In that, in all the guys that I just mentioned, McCaffrey, Saquon, Kamara, Zeke, they were all basically their goal line back. I know Mark Ingram in New Orleans, but Kamara certainly scored enough. They run a lot when they get in close. So the concern here is that C.J. Anderson and or Zach Zenner take the early down and specifically the goal line work. That does Kerryon Johnson, in order to get to 10 to 12 touchdowns as opposed to like 6 to 8, you know, he's going to need to get some of those gimmies, right?
Sure.
And he can do that, but just will they use him in that role? So that's my only concern in terms of that might cap his ceiling. But we always talk about this field. Fantasy success comes from two things, opportunity and talent, right? And so we know he's got the talent. We saw it last year. We saw it at Auburn. And now he's got the opportunity in a big way.
He sure does. And it's one day at training camp, but it was pretty obvious that one offensive player stood out amongst the rest, and that was Kerryon.
One last stat that Thirsty Kyle dug up for me, so I want to do this because poor guy actually did work over there. Kerryon Johnson had 4 games last year with over 15 touches. Those 4 games, he averaged 18.9 fantasy points per game. 118 total yards per game, 3 touchdowns in those 4 games.
Yeah, when
like
he got,
you'd take that, right?
Right. You've already seen him do it once. We take that.
Yeah,
we take all of that. C.J. Anderson's being drafted on average as 53rd amongst running backs. As I mentioned, I think it's a true change of pace opportunity for C.J. Anderson. I mean, I'm not buying into the idea that at the beginning of the season, we're going to see CJ at the front of the line, so to speak, amongst running backs. Like, he's there to, when Kerryon gets tired or if, you know, he has rips off a long run and gets gas on that, like, CJ comes in.
I mean, or if Kerryon's tired at the mess hall to, like, bring him his lunch, you know, or
right,
like,
stop.
You know, or like, stop. Or, bring his luggage, you know, to the room or, I'm kidding. CJ Anderson, but Stefania, I'm just curious. Now, I know you talked to CJ Anderson, and I know, you know, obviously Kerryon Johnson got a little bit banged up last year. I'm just curious, can you give us a quick health perspective on both running backs?
Yeah, I think you're talking about the two things that matter is opportunity and talent, but I would say there's 3, and the third one's availability. And that's the.
I would argue that's under opportunity. Like, you don't have opportunity if you're sitting in the tub, right?
No,
you
know, no. Opportunity to me is like scripted in the scheme of the offense, and that's what you're talking about, designed opportunity. But if you're not available to take advantage of the opportunity,
then you don't have the opportunity, and then that goes away.
I mean, logic.
Hang on for a second. Hang on. Stop for 1 second. By a round of applause, who's right here? So, how many people think hang on. Let me do this.
There's only one answer.
Yes.
Hang on.
Yes.
Let the semi-professional.
She is
this.
Correct.
Yeah. Good. Great. 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 All right. Stefania's college roommate apparently is here. All right. So, listen. How many people believe that opportunity and availability are basically the same thing? That I'm right. Round of applause. Woo! Wow. Oh. All right. How many people believe that they are two separate things and Stefania's right? You're all cut like Theo Riddick.
I love that. This is so good. You guys are already in meat season form. Let's move along because we've got some other players.
Hang on, let her finish. Okay. Let Stefania finish.
So the point is, when I talked with CJ.
That was good.
What?
You just dropped the mic.
I know.
She wants to give the actual medical analysis.
But she
did her homework, let her.
The fact that Kerryon had a banged up knee, I mean, obviously he wants some insurance for that, but CJ said that Bevel being here was a huge reason. He had some options. Obviously he showed up for the Rams late last year. That was one of the reasons that he came, because he really does believe that the ground game for the Lions is going to change, that he would have opportunity here. And he was in a Super Bowl where he lost because Bevel was on the opposing team. So he's actually really excited that when he went to Carolina, he was supposed to do more, but they would never take McCaffrey off the field. So I don't think he has disillusions of grandeur. You know, I think he understands that there will be a role to be played, but I wouldn't say that it will be rare. I do think, to Matthew's point, that the opportunity at the goal line might be a place where you see CJ be able to take advantage.
Let's move along to the wide receivers. One of the more intriguing position groups in this entire entire roster is the wideouts. Let's begin with Kenny Galladay, who also feels like a crowd favorite.
By the way, I interviewed Kenny G. Name drop. I interviewed Kenny G when we were at Lions training camp, and does not like the nickname Babytron. I asked him about that specifically.
You know, but I've heard a lot of people, including Bob Quinn, kind of push back on it as well. I think most of it is, to the point raised by this lovely lady right here, it's deference and respect to you. Yeah. Deference and respect to Megatron, right? Like, I don't think anybody wants to listen, Calvin Johnson earned that thing. Over 10 or 9 seasons of, like, remarkable play and being the best wide receiver in football for 9 seasons. You can cheer to that. Kenny Galladay's average draft position is ADP. His ADP is 21. We'll work on the nickname. Wide receiver 21. We'll work on his nickname. Turns 26 later on this season, so still a young ascending player in his third pro campaign. Last year, Golden Tate gets traded. Marvin Jones gets hurt. All of a sudden, people are saying, back to Matthew's point, opportunity plus ability. He should explode. Wasn't quite the case, Matthew, but...
It was a little when you look at, like, from week 10 on after Marvin Jones went down, he was sort of up and down.
Kind of reminds me of the Tyler
Boyd
thing, right?
The offense was just broken, right?
Some guys are just slotted appropriately, right? So it's like there are clear-cut number one wide receivers who, no matter what offense they play in, they're going to produce in a major way. I think that Kenny G is not quite there yet, but he is going to benefit so much more from having a healthy skill set of players that also includes Marvin Jones, we'll talk about it in a moment, Danny Amendola, and the first round pick, TJ Hockenson. Like, there's still like a lot of like scratching of the surface that is available for Kenny G.
And certainly, again, if they get, assuming that the run game is what they want it to be, right, that's just going to set up play action in a big way, which certainly opens up the passing game here. It's worth noting that I think there's a bargain here. If Kenny Galladay is going outside the top 20 at wide receivers, you can tell me his current ADP on ESPN is wide receiver 21.
Right.
Think about this. For his career, when Kenny Galladay gets more than 5 targets a game, and I think it's fair to think that he will get more than 5 targets a game this year.
I can't do the math, but I think that's 80
right?
over the season. I don't know.
He averages 17.2 fantasy points per game. 17.2 fantasy points per game last year would have been wide receiver 13 on a per game basis, just ahead of T.Y. Hilton. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to finish as wide receiver 13, but I have him higher than wide receiver 21. I certainly would prefer Kenny Golladay to AJ Green if I'm drafting today.
Well, 100%.
Yeah, that's
100%. So I think there's an opportunity. Maybe not here in Detroit, obviously, but I think for people that are listening to this podcast, well, just because everyone in hometowns, people tend
draft
to like
your heart
hometown players.
You draft with your heart. I can't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are a lot of homers, like Daniel. Like, Daniel drafted Kenny Golladay in the first round last year. So, how do you not have any Lions tattoos? Can we talk about that for a second?
We talked about that. That was a different podcast. Yeah.
What's the question? Why don't I have any Lions tattoos?
Yeah.
Yet.
Right.
They're supposed to say.
In 2004, there was I got a cease and desist from the front office about some stuff.
Fair enough. All right, we won't get into your legal issues just yet.
We all like Kenny G.
We all like Kenny Golladay. Yeah,
in for a good run. Marvin Jones. I think Marvin Jones sometimes gets underappreciated as a real life football player. Just a solid player for the Lions over his first two seasons. His ADP right now amongst wideouts is 34. Feels like he is. Last year, I think we went into the season thinking it was Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Kenny Golladay in that order. I think this year, Marvin Jones remains of the two. Kenny G is the one, which is part of the reason why we've got Jones a little bit further down the depth chart. And he's healthy again, Stefania, after missing, eight weeks to end last season.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes, again, the seasonal calendar can be tricky because if guy's not doing well and the team's not doing well, even if he has an injury he could come back from, they're not going to push to bring him back for no apparent reason. So I think when you look at the fact that he missed, I think it was the last seven games of the season, he probably could have come back after four or five. So, fully healthy after the offseason.
And, Matthew, I think this is a player that when he's healthy has been steady, right? Never necessarily spectacular for fantasy football. He had that one year where he caught four touchdowns in a game for the Bengals, and his full season numbers kind of inflated a little bit. But through week 10 of last year when he was healthy, he had seen a league high 52% of his team's end zone targets. So a guy that, you know, when they get to the moneymaker time, they have looked Marvin Jones' way in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the numbers sort of when both of them were on the field. So the first 10 weeks of last season when both Golladay and Jones were on the field, Stafford completed 67.9% of his balls to Kenny Golladay, 58.3% to Marvin Jones. For whatever reason, it just seemed like last year when both guys were on the field, he had more of a connection with Kenny Golladay. Wide receiver 34, that makes sense to me as a wide receiver 4 for Marvin Jones. I think he winds up there. It seems like he's going to be a guy that's going to be tough to start to get consistent fantasy value on a week-to-week basis.
I think you're looking at deeper leagues as a possible flex play during the season. Otherwise, probably a nice piece to have on your bench as a possible number one wide receiver.
Yeah, depth play.
I'm not sure exactly. I think the buzz surrounding this player should be significant. TJ Hockenson, the Lions' first-round pick this year, 8th overall, out of Iowa. You know what, though? Like, that sort of little bit less than totally enthusiastic reaction is probably sort of reflective of who he is. The guy, like, there's not much sexy about what T.J. Hockenson does. I mean, the guy, like...
Speak for yourself, baby.
I was actually... Hello, true story. I was sailor. On the plane from Nashville the day after the NFL draft with T.J. I was coming to a wedding in the great city of Detroit. Awesome time, as you expect. And, like, not a single person knew he was. Not a single person was like, oh, that's the guy that we just drafted 8th overall. We're going to pay $26 million for the next 4 years.
Was he in first or coach?
I believe it was JetBlue, so there was no first.
Ah.
Yeah.
Was he mint?
I'm not sure what that means.
JetBlue mint.
JetBlue's
like
mint is their
scale.
First class.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, probably. Sure, why not? I'm not sure. Anyways,
I'm just curious.
It's been a while.
I'm just curious if you had a better seat than T.J. Hockenson or not.
No, I did not. Okay, but very
good.
Nice guy.
That's how it should be. Good.
We had a conversation. Nice guy. Really, like, just seems like...
Awesome. Awesome dude.
High character.
I get to the... Every year I get to go to the NFLPA rookie premiere where I interview, like, the 40 most marketable rookies in the eyes of the NFLPA, and it's usually offensive rookies. And so I got to interview T.J. Hockenson, and he brought his parents.
He brought his parents.
I mean, which was like, I mean, like, and no other players did. It was like the sweetest thing. And I got to meet them as well. And, we'll show the video on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. So I have the interview and we did some stuff and he did some stuff with us and he was great. But, when I mentioned that I work for ESPN and I work for Disney, I was telling him, I'm like, hey, this interview is going to be fine. Like,
and then listen, you told him about Avengers Endgame.
I mean, obviously. I mean, no, I have my producer DJ Gallo do that so it doesn't look like I'm bragging, you know, and then I have him do that. His eyes lit up when I mentioned that I work for ESPN and Disney because he's just like, I love Disney World. Like, he's just like, and he's like a big kid. Anyway, sweetest guy, easy guy to root for. I think you guys got a great one in Detroit. One thing I will say fantasy-wise, though, I think he's going to be a better NFL player this year, Field, than he will be a fantasy asset. For a couple of reasons. Number one is just sort of what's most likely to happen. I always talk about this in the manifesto, right? Past decade, there's only been one tight end that's ever been a top 10 fantasy tight end as a rookie. That was Evan Ingram the year that Shepard, Beckham, and Brandon Marshall all got hurt.
Right.
So, like, he was the only game in town. The other thing is Jesse James. Like, you know, again, it was just one. So I was talking with some of the beat writers that have been there, and just what I noticed today on the field, like, when they got to their red zone package, Jesse James was the guy that was going with the ones, not Hockenson. Now, they're using Hockenson a lot, and they're, you know, between the 20s, and he's clearly going to be a featured part of that offense. But the problem is that you paid Jesse James a lot of money as well, and he's a great red zone target. So I'm nervous about consistent fantasy production from TJ Hockenson, especially as long as Jesse James is on the team.
Hey, you get the point well taken. He is basically for free in drafts right now, tight end 19, so in terms of average draft position. A late-round flyer, or not so late-round. If you want to play with your heart, you want to root for your hometown team and the rookie tight end, go ahead and go for it. All right, if you're listening to this on the podcast form, it's time for us to take a quick break. For those of you that are hanging out with us right now, we're just going to keep on rocking.
Hey, guys. This was the point of the show where Mike Clay came out and did a touchdown regression to the mean segment where he talked about players that will score more or less touchdowns based on their 2018 season. So unfortunately, we had a problem with one of the wireless microphones that we used, and we had to scrap the whole thing for the podcast here for you guys. So we're going to skip right to our Q&A segment, and don't worry, we will definitely have more with Mike Clay and his regression to the mean segment in later podcast episodes. But for right now, here's our Q&A.
Hey, Matthew, we got some questions here coming up right now.
Well, we technically only have one question because this whole bit took about 15 minutes longer than what we have.
Okay, so we have one question.
Hey, don't be mad at me. Be mad
crowd.
At Matthew Berry.
We have one question from the crowd. It better
one
be good. Daniel
really
Dobb, tell us
question.
Who it is from.
This question is from Harry Drake in Troy, Michigan. Harry,
where are you, Harry? Stand up.
Hand.
Harry.
Everybody
Harry
give question. It up for Harry Drake.
Harry Drake wants to know, will Saquon produce more with the Giants' depleted wide receiving core, or does his value become less because of all the injuries?
So I'll take it first here. Here's what I would say.
Yeah,
I think that if Saquon's value is decreased because of the injuries to the wide receivers, we're talking about, to me, an amount that does not move the needle, so to speak, right? Like, I don't think he necessarily – he can't move up anywhere in the rankings. He's consensus number one across most everybody's rankings right now. And if you were to move him down, I think you're kind of nitpicking. In the same way that I could say, hey, well, we're not quite sure when Zeke will report, or Alvin Kamara, maybe there's some thought that he won't get as many touches as the rest of these core four running backs. For Christian McCaffrey, you might see more work for whatever backup running back emerges in Carolina. I think Saquon Barkley, to me, still feels like a safe bet as number one.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think you can go wrong with any of those four running backs, the four that Field just mentioned here. I would say that whereas he may not be as efficient, obviously, he might set the NFL record for touches in a season. I mean, like, he's all they got. And so you say, like, well, their offense might not be as efficient, but I don't know. Like, I think their defense is going to be bad as well. Thirsty Kyle, we looked this – I don't know where Thirsty Kyle is. He's probably trying to find a fake ID somewhere. I'll buy you a beer, Kyle, wherever you are. Whereas he may not be as efficient, I just think the volume of touches, but Thirsty Kyle and I looked this up the other day. The Giants were actually last year, as bad as they were actually in the upper half of the NFL in terms of pass attempts. And I mean, you know, because they got down so much. So I have Saquon still at one, but any one of those running backs in the top four, you'll be fine with.
All right. We're going to do one more, actually. I lied
to
you.
Read a couple other questions.
We're going to do one more. All right, this one comes from Josh in Owosso, Michigan. Josh, where you at?
Josh, tell yourself. What's up, Josh?
Josh, what up, Josh?
What up, Josh?
Josh wants to know, which rookie wide receiver in Arizona is the one to roster in 2019?
Wow, that's a great one. I mean, like, we've been hearing some buzz out of camp recently that Keyshawn Johnson...
Not Keyshawn Johnson.
Not throw me the damn ball, Keyshawn, but K-E-E-S-E-A-N Johnson... has been getting some buzz and running with the ones. I loved Hakeem Butler when I interviewed him and loved hearing what Kyler Murray was saying about Hakeem Butler. It's sort of like him. I know a lot of people are very high on Andy Isabella, who they spent the most draft capital on. He was, their second round pick.
Yep.
So, if I have to pick today, I'm still going to say Hakeem Butler because I think he's got the best chance at touchdowns of those three. But look, I think the pass catching entities on the Cardinals you want are Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, and Christian Kirk.
Right, I was going to say, can I cheat and go with the second year player in Christian Kirk, who last year, despite the fact that that was the most pathetic offense in the NFL and it wasn't close, still actually showed enough to be, to inspire some confidence, had the largest target share amongst rookie wide receivers, and I know this is sort of anecdotal, but there was a time when Christian Kirk and Kyler Murray were teammates before they played with the Arizona Cardinals together. Texas A&M, they were teammates during Kyler's one season there. He played in 5 games total, did Kyler, before he eventually transferred to Oklahoma. Bit of a developed rapport. Love Christian Kirk as a guy that I think has a chance to make a real leap here in his second year of his NFL career. All right. I think it's time for Daniel to grab the mic.
Here's the thing. I just want to say one thing, guys. It's been fantastic to be here in Detroit.
We're not done yet.
I have been so excited to be able to come back to Michigan. I grew up in Midland, just a little bit north of here.
Yep.
It has been so fantastic to do this show. But the MVP for me of tonight's podcast is going to be the woman that comes out right now on stage. Because this woman, I came from her womb, and today is her birthday.
Hey!
I need you guys to sing happy birthday with me to Mama Squirrel, all right?
Come on out.
Mama Squirrel in the house.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mama Squirrel. Happy birthday to you.
There you go.
40 is a very special
number. I wanted to get you
an
apple pie for your birthday. I know that you're a huge apple pie fan, so thank you so much for letting me come from your body.
Mama Squirrel, come on here for 1 second, real quickly. We just got to ask you one quick question. If you could, tell the audience here in St. Andrew's Hall and at home, what Daniel was like a young boy.
He was amazing.
Aww.
He was absolutely, he was the sweetest thing. He would come in first thing in the morning, open up the door and say, "Good morning, Mutter. I'm happy to see you."
That is so adorable. It's nice that you have those memories of an adorable child than what he's turned into. Genuine question. What do you think, because we've seen pictures of Daniel when he was in the Air Force, very clean shaven, obviously, no tattoos, and now obviously he's got the big beard, he's got all the ink, as you see there. I'm just curious what you think of that.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you guys a story really quickly. This is the thing.
Okay.
My mother asked me the summer before I joined the Air Force, she was like, "Daniel, what do you want to do?" I'll do anything that you guys want to do. It's my last summer with you guys before you leave home. So I said, "You know what, Mom? I want to go get a tattoo." And she said, "Okay." And I said, "And I want you to get a tattoo with me." So my mom went with me, and she got a tattoo.
What?
The same time I got mine. That's it.
That is an actual mic drop.
Let's go.
Thank you guys for coming out. Thank you so much for this, Detroit. You guys are fantastic.
Detroit!
Thank you!